Friends in Christ, one of the more remarkable saints of this past century is a woman named Saint Teresa Benedicta of the Cross. She grew up as a young Jewish girl named Edith Stein. Edith Stein, in her early 30s, converted to the Catholic faith, and she went on to enter a Carmelite monastery. She became a nun, and ultimately she was executed at Auschwitz because she was Jewish, but she died with a tremendous love for her Jewish roots and her Catholic faith. But there's a true story about Edith Stein. After her conversion, but before she entered the convent, that she was living with some Dominican sisters in Speyer in Germany, and she was teaching philosophy. And they would often go together, she would go with the sisters to the nearby church where they would pray, and she had a particular place that she loved, a little niche that was located almost hidden by the choir loft. And one Christmas Eve, after the midnight mass, she was praying her thanksgiving to God in that quiet little place when they turned all the lights off and locked the church. They didn't realize she was there. And in the morning, when the Dominican sisters came in to unlock the church, they turned on the lights, and to their astonishment, Edith Stein was kneeling before the Christmas crib, adoring the Lord. And one of the nuns ran up to her and said, "I'm so embarrassed. Professor, I'm the one that locked the church. I apologize. You probably didn't sleep all night." To which Edith Stein replied, "Sleep? Who could sleep during the night that God became man?" We gather together as people of faith here tonight on this Christmas Eve to welcome God made man and to understand more deeply why he did that and what its meaning is for our lives. The church's liturgy beautifully teaches us about that reality, that we listen in the preface for the Eucharistic prayer this evening, that in the mystery of the Word made flesh, a new light has shone upon the eyes of our mind, so that as we recognize in Him God made visible, we may be caught up through Him in love of things invisible. There's an entire invisible reality where God dwells, where the angels are, where love comes from. But seeing God made visible, we get swept up in love of that invisible reality. And that's the meaning of Christmas. Back in the early 1980s, towards the very beginning of the pontificate of Saint John Paul the Great, our late Holy Father offered every Wednesday for 5 years a catechesis or teaching of what has come to be known as the theology of the body. And so human sexuality in the divine plan, that he taught how the love between a man and a woman generates new life in the world, the way the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit generate new life and new love through creation and through redemption. But the summary of the theology of the body, which he offers twice, once in 1980 and once in 1982, is really about the body of Christ bringing love into the world. He says the body, in fact, and only the body, is capable of making visible what is invisible, the spiritual and the divine. It was created, he says, to transfer into the visible reality of the world the mystery hidden from eternity in God. Now, I can repeat that because it's important, and it's also rather deep. The body, in fact, and only it, is capable of making visible that which is invisible, the spiritual and the divine. So the spiritual is the soul. You can't see someone's soul. You don't know what it looks like. But the moment they begin to speak and make their thoughts known, the moment they reach out in love to embrace another, or they reach out in charity to assist somebody in need, now you can see the soul. The body brings into visible reality that which is hidden. There's a beautiful movie that came out in 1995 called Mr. Holland's Opus. It's a story about this very gifted musician who never gets to go on to create his symphony, his masterpiece, because he's so wrapped up in the lives of his students. He teaches music at a high school. But more than teaching music, he teaches them about life. It's a wonderful, inspiring story, but one of the subplots of the movie is that he's so tied up in helping his students that he begins to neglect his own family, in particular his son Cole. Cole is deaf, and so he can't listen to the music his father creates. His father can't relate to him through music like he relates with so many other people. But recognizing that Cole feels neglected and even hurt, Mr. Holland goes through great efforts to learn sign language. And he sets together a concert. He brings the school together, and he sits his son in the front row, and he plays this song called Beautiful Boy. But he not only sings the song and has the music playing in the background, he signs for Cole the words of that song, this love that a father has for his son, the beautiful boy. And the son is moved to tears. It's a beautiful reconciliation that happens in the film. The body, and in fact only the body, is capable of making visible that which is invisible. The spiritual and the divine, says St. John Paul the Great. It was created to transfer into the visible reality of the world, the mystery hidden from eternity in God. What is that mystery? What is hidden in God? The Catechism of the Catholic Church says, by sending his only Son and the Spirit of love in the fullness of time, God has revealed his innermost secret. God himself is an eternal exchange of love, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he has destined us to share in that exchange. That is the mystery hidden in God. Love, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so do you want to know what love looks like? Do you want to know what love sounds like? Do you want to know what love feels like? Then you look no further than the Son of God, who is born in Bethlehem, who will walk the streets of Jerusalem, healing the sick, raising the dead, lifting up the downcast, proclaiming the good news, suffering and dying on the cross, being raised from the dead, and sending forth the Holy Spirit to renew the world. This is love made visible. And we in the church are called to embrace that love and to make it visible by the way that we live and by the way that we love. It's a work that should exhaust us, perhaps even leave us awake all night. Because, after all, who can sleep during the night that God became man?